Certainly glad that you're here today, especially those visiting with us. We certainly count you our honored guest and invite you back at each and every opportunity you might have. Good to see those that have been out for a while back with us again, maybe traveling or sick, and be back with us again. Certainly the Lord has answered our prayers concerning that. I was at the mall yesterday with my family, and I thought about this story that I read some time back as we were looking for a parking place yesterday. There was a little old lady. She was driving in a car, a big Volvo, older Volvo, back when they were good size. And she was waiting for this space to open. And this fellow was taking his time backing out. And finally the fellow had backed out. All of a sudden this sports car came from the other way and turned real quick and just pulled right into that parking space. The fellow got out. And the old lady pulled up next to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm young and I'm quick." So he started walking away from the old lady. And all of a sudden she backed up her Volvo and she plowed into the car. And she plowed into it again until finally she moved that car out of that space. And he came running back. And he said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm old and I'm rich." She was mad. Anger. I think about anger. I think about one thing my grandfather told me years ago. I don't know exactly when it happened. I didn't even take the time to look it up. But there were two ball teams back in the late 1800s, I guess, the 1890s somewhere. It seemed like it was maybe the Red Sox and the Orioles at that time. But anyway, two players got in a fight. They got angry and got in a fight on the field. Spread to the other players. All of a sudden, it spread to the stands. When it spread to the stands, all of a sudden they knocked over a couple of lanterns up there and they burnt down the entire ball field, by entire stadium there. But the fire spread to the city. I don't know if it was the city of Baltimore or where. But anyway, they said there were 217 businesses destroyed because of at least two people being angry with each other. So today what I want to do is talk to you about anger for a few minutes and the idea of unpacking anger. Where we see that anger many times is rooted in you. Someone has said something. Someone did something. And it made us angry. In Proverbs, in chapter 19, and in verse 19, Proverbs 19, and in verse 19, he says, "A man of great anger will bear the penalty, but if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again." Sometimes with anger, we see that anger sometimes is addicting. My anger was justified. And when we think about my anger being justified, then the next time it's going to be easier to get angry again. Angry people are always angry. And they want to be angry. Seem like for whatever reason you see more of this in society today. We see that it's not representative of the child of God. In 1 John and in chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3. He's going to contrast here in chapter 3 the child of God and the child of the devil. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1 beginning, he says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as of yet what will be. For we know when he appears, we'll be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. For no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. But the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God, or begotten of God." The meaning there. "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. But for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous." So we see that certainly anger is not representative of the child of God. Certainly, it's giving someone else control. I experienced that this week. My little grandchildren were all around me this week several times, and they were sick. And when they're sick, they are drawn to their papa. It is, for some reason, they love to be around me when they're sick. Their noses are running, everything. They're crawling all over me. And I think about David's statement, there's just a step between me and death. You know, it's close now. So I was feeling bad the other day when I got through with them. And I went to the bathroom and I got out a thermometer. We have some of them Star Trek thermometers or whatever, you know, rake across your head there, and it said 100.9. I thought, oh no, man, I'm on my way out now. So I said, "Taylor," I said, "come here," I said, "take your temperature too." So she ran across her head. Her said 100.6. She said, "oh no, this is wrong, Dad." She said, "I'm feeling fine." So I went to Walgreens and got a thermometer and found out my temperature was just normal. But still, someone else was controlling. Someone else was controlling me. When you're angry, you're giving someone else control. It might even be to the point to where you're losing sleep. You're thinking about the next day, what you can do to get even, what you can do to say, what you can do to win that argument because of the fact you are so angry. But that other person, just sleeping fine. Didn't even think anything about it. But the angry person will have someone else many times to control them. So we see here concerning this, what happens. So just some points here very quickly. One is that in the effects of anger, that anger will make you into a problem starter. In Proverbs 15, verse 18, it says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. In chapter 26 of Proverbs, verse 21, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. When I was preaching in the country, there was a lot of churches around. A lot of churches of Christ around. And in that little bitty county down where I was preaching, there were probably seven or eight at that time churches of Christ in just that little county. Just had a couple thousand people in the county, but just had churches of Christ everywhere distributed through that county. And one fellow came to me one day, and he said, you know, wherever I go, there are problems. And I looked at him and I said, well, maybe you're the problem then. If wherever you go, there's problems. Maybe you're the problem. It might be the fact, when you think about verses like this, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. A lot of times you see when a person like this even steps into a room. When a person like this steps into a room sometimes, there is strife. Or more so. Not only that, but another point we see. Anger will make you foolish. Anger will make you foolish. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. A man of evil devices is hated. It says in verse 29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Glendale, years ago, and of course you all didn't see Glendale much of the time because he wasn't able to come here much of the time. But one day, he calls me and he says, you need to take me to the emergency room. I said, all right, I'll be there in a minute. So I walk over and he's holding his hand. And I said, what happened to your hand? He said, I got so angry at my mother that I punched that wall. And he had fractured or broke some bones in his hand. I just didn't think that was very bright for something that feels pain to punch something that doesn't feel pain. And that's what he did. Or many times people, when they get angry, they just talk louder and louder. It's a quick-tempered man who exalts folly. We also see that anger causes you to sin. In chapter 5 of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you have heard the ancients were told, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says this brother good for nothing shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell. But I just thought, How many sins would we stop here in Louisville? How many sins would we stop in our business? How many sins would we stop in our families if we would just get rid of anger? Because so much is behind that. Another thing I've noticed is that anger will leave you lonely. Leave you lonely. It is better to live in the corner of a roof than a house shared with a contentious woman. It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. Or man, for that matter. It makes no difference. If you're angry, you're always lashing out at other people. And one day, it might be the fact that you lash out so much that you're finally alone. No one wants to be around you anymore. It might be the fact that you're just not invited to many other things anymore because of the fact you are so angry. The core of anger, what feeds your anger? It might be a feeling of helplessness. I know a lot of times maybe with people they want to be heard. And as they want to be heard, they'll just get louder and louder and louder. It might be poor training. It might be that you work somewhere and your boss yells at you all the time. He's angry with you. You come home and that's the way that you treat your wife. To where you're angry with her because that's all that you've seen at work. The wife and the husband, they're angry with each other, so that's what the children see. And that's the way that they grow up, being angry because they've seen their parents, because the parents saw the boss at work. And the children go out in their interaction with other friends they have. And all they see many times is anger. It might be poor training. So what do we need to do? We need to disassociate from angry things. We see, first of all, do not associate with a man given to anger. Or to go with a hot-tempered man. Or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. So we need to be careful there. Not only that, but we learn self-control. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Than he who rules his spirit, than he who captures a city. Like a city that's broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. I know you can't always control the situation. But there's one thing I do know, even though you can't control the situation every time, you can control you. As to what you are going to do. But the danger is that if you let it, someone can come and overtake your life to where you are just consumed with anger. Well, what else do we need to do? We need to pray for people and for things that anger us. He states, "And you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You want to stop being angry at somebody? Well, you pray for them. That's what he says. It's difficult to do. I hope they get theirs one day. Oh, I just can't wait for the Lord to come back and really just give it to them. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is you continue to pray. And pray for them. Well, in conclusion this morning, the solution to anger: to consider what you learn and to forgive those who have hurt you. Let's turn over now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read several verses here and then we'll close this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, beginning. He says, Ephesians 4, verse 17, "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But," verse 20, "you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you will be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are neighbors of one another. Verse 26, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he'll have something to share with the one who also has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that you'll give grace to those who hear. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Then in conclusion, he says in verse 31, 32, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So consider what you've learned. You're added to the church. As you're added to the church, what that means? What that basically means is you become a disciple. You become a student. A student is like its teacher. Consider what you learned. But the problem is many times because people don't ask for forgiveness, we hold grudges. We can't wait for that person to get his or hers. We stew at night thinking about what we could do tomorrow just to even the score. That's not the life of a child of God. That's not godliness. That's not righteousness. But we turn to Jesus Christ. Verse 20 again, you did not learn Christ in that way. Might be in the audience today, not a Christian, understanding the condition that you're in, needing a Savior, to be buried with Jesus in baptism, whatever your need might be, we invite you to come. While together we stand, we sing.